All right, everybody. Well, it's been fun. And it's going to continue to be fun because we're not quitting. Whee! That joke is not going to make any fucking sense to anybody, especially since by the time anybody of any amount actually listens to this, like, there's probably going to be like 6 more episodes at least, if not more. Whatever. I made the joke.
Oh, that's what the joke was.
Yeah.
I thought the joke was like saying goodbye to my horrible audio.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. I mean, yes, let's do that. Let's say goodbye.
Yeah.
F's in the chat for Steven's Yeti.
Yeti. Yeah.
Yeah.
It served me really well, and I had it for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we had a lot of good episodes and good audio with the Yeti, but it was finally time to move up to the big league. So I got Steven the same audio setup that I have, actually slightly better audio setup than I have.
But, oh wow.
Well, yeah, because you have the you've got the 2i2 or whatever the fuck it is. It's like it's got like the two mic inputs. It's like, and it's also the newer generation. Like mine is, I think, like the Gen 2 or whatever, and yours is the Gen. It's like, anyway, fucking, it's nice. I was kind of like, oh man, should I order one of those for myself? But I was like, this is, my audio is fine. I don't need to start spending ridiculous things.
Yeah, for your audio is very good.
Yeah, I don't need to. There's nothing I need to fix. There's nothing I need to fix. So I'm just being silly. But anyway,
the weirdest part of the whole setup is definitely, I wasn't expecting how like floppy the like cable is. I don't know if that's the right word for it. It's like, I've never really had a cable quite like this, like audio cable that I have from the microphone to the receiver.
Oh yeah, the XLR cable.
Yeah, it's so like tentacle. It's like a, it's like I'm grabbing like an organic like thing. It's very I've never had a wire. Every other wire I've had felt like a piece of metal in rubber.
Yeah.
But this feels like it's filled with like water or something. It's very strange.
I guess, yeah, okay, you know, I mean, I never really thought about it, but yeah, it's kind of like jelly like in a way.
Yes, jelly like. That's a good way to put it.
Oh, yeah, like, I mean, I don't know what is in an XLR cable to be.
Yeah, exactly. It's not whatever it is. It's clearly not a piece of copper.
Yeah, what is XLR?
Is it like fiber optic or something? Is there like
no, I don't think so. But what?
I mean, that would be the fastest way to deliver information.
It would be. I kind of doubt it. But what is XLR? It's never occurred to me what the hell it is.
Yeah, that was the immediate. It's like everything else. I was like, okay, yeah, I've set up a boom mic before. Like blah 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 blah. Oh, what the F is going on here with this cable? What is this?
What is an XLR cable made from? No, I mean, it's
copper.
It's copper wires. It's copper wire. Right. It must be because it's like encased in something or whatever. Yeah. But yeah,
there's some sort of like noise canceling material, like a foam, maybe. I don't know.
There must be. Yeah, there's got to be some kind of nonsense.
It's so
in there.
Soft.
It is very. I mean, like I'm like touching my. I'm trying not to like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I keep looking at the output to see if there's any like noise that I'm producing while I like finger this cable gently.
Jeez. Oh, by the way, this is a stupid question, but you are speaking into your microphone from the side, correct? As opposed to head on. Hello. Uh oh, what happened?
Of course I was doing that, Jason. What are you, crazy? I definitely wasn't speaking directly into the top of the mic this whole time.
Oh my God.
That would be something an insane person would have done.
Yes, these are the condenser mics are side address, not top address microphones.
Okay. Well, it's fixed now.
Oh, you sound actually even a little bit better.
Yeah, great. Wow, how about that?
Oh God, you sound incredible now. Oh, I love it. Oh, it's perfect. It's everything I could have possibly imagined. Anyway, okay. So we're kind of burying the lead here, but news, podcast news. I teased it a little bit last time, and I'll now reveal. We're not quitting, but things might kind of slow down / upload schedule might be a little bit wacky for a while. Not that I was really on an upload schedule, but whatever. I had a baby. I had a baby, and so that's going to screw with actually doing the podcast a little bit, but don't worry, we're still doing it. It's just going to be sporadic, I guess, is probably going to be the best word for it. It's like we might plan to do it, and then it's like, ah, shit, might be another 2 weeks. So we'll see.
Yes.
But yes, other than that, so how's it going, man? I actually saw you. It was wild.
Yeah, you saw me relatively recently.
Yes.
A month ago-ish.
Yes, it was very weird actually seeing you as a human being instead of just listening
in person.
To you.
Yeah, agreed.
I was like, oh God, that's right. That is what you look like.
Yeah, I'm right there. And my voice sounds way better than I look, apparently.
Same with me.
Yeah.
No, it was, I think what threw me off the most was that you weren't wearing your glasses, which, you know, you've been wearing for a million years.
My entire life. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was very difficult to get used to that. I was like, oh, like, cause it's like, you try. I was like, wait a second, something is different here. Yeah.
Turns out I don't really need them.
Yeah, well, good for you, man. Like that's good. So you don't really have any, like any issues anymore with your eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's just fine.
Oh, you bastard.
Yeah. I mean, I technically do have worse vision than 20/20. Like, I mean, my eyes aren't perfect. Like, straight up, they aren't. But like, I don't need to just wear glasses my whole life, actually. It's perfectly good.
No, fair enough. Well, that's nice. Yeah. I do need to wear glasses every day.
I'm sure I will need to wear glasses again at some point.
Yeah, I mean,
if my eyes deteriorate as I get older.
Yeah, if the rest of us are any indication, there's a fairly good chance that glasses will be revisited.
Yeah, I'll slip back in there, but it's nice not to have to wear them for once.
Yes. Oh, man. But it was good. It was good having you. I keep wanting to say down here, but that's the exact opposite.
It was good to be up there.
Yes, up. Up is the direction.
In Canada.
I don't know why I always do that. Lauren's pointed this out to me on a regular basis. Like, I still say, like, down to Toronto, even though I'm very clearly south of Toronto. I don't know why. And I say, like, going up to Charlotte. I don't know why, like, my globe is, like, the other way around.
It's because living in Charlotte for so long, you got up and down confused because uptown, downtown.
Oh, you know what? There we go. That's a great excuse.
You're just permanently confused. It's a mental virus. It's a linguistic virus all people who live in Charlotte have had now.
You know what? I'm going to take that excuse because,
it's great.
Uptown Charlotte. Fucking A, man. Jesus
exactly.
Christ.
I'm going to go uptown.
Yeah.
And it's just in your lexicon forever.
Oh, God. Even though literally everybody else calls it a downtown.
Downtown.
Nobody else calls it an uptown except for Charlotte. I'm sure other people call it an uptown, but they're wrong, too.
They're wrong. It's wrong. It was wrong when I heard it, and I recognized that as like an 11-year-old, and it's still wrong as a 30-year-old.
How old am I?
Stop counting.
Yeah, there's no point now.
Yeah. It's on my driver's license.
There you go. That's all you need to know. I mean, it is a genuine thing that happens to me where sometimes I'm just like, wait, how old am I again?
Yeah, no, I've definitely lost track at this point.
Yeah. I have to check with Lauren a lot because it's like Lauren is like an age and then I'm just like, wait a second. But we're the same age, but she has her birthday first. So it's like, okay, wait, you're that age and it's not my birthday yet. So I need to subtract one. It's difficult.
There you go.
It's difficult. It's real bad. Oh, my God. But
so how are things?
They're good. They're good. Baby's good. We're good.
Good.
I'm sleepy.
Good. Yeah, I bet.
She's not as sleepy as she needs to be.
just like put a recording of my voice on and like take a secret nap for an hour.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Like, yeah, it would like the podcast plan really long. Oh my God. Yeah. That was crazy. 5 hours. Wow.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, so I assume not you haven't watched too many things or
you know what, we actually have we have
nice.
Watched things. No, we've managed to get to the point where we're watching TV on a regular basis, which is good.
Hell yeah.
And
great.
We'll get to that, but first, okay we have to transition. Okay,
sure.
We're a T-Review podcast now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay,
tell me everything. Yes. I want to know because I bought you some teas and I want to know what you thought.
So I started with the Irish breakfast.
Of course.
Obviously, which I enjoyed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Up until I tried the Assam Black Beauty.
Yeah.
Which was obviously the best tea I've ever had in my entire life. by some large margin, I would say.
It's funny too, because I had that tea while you were over, and I did not put it together until I had some after you left, and I was just like, oh fuck, I'm so stupid. I should have made him drink this tea. This was the correct tea.
Yeah, that is that is so good that I actually just bought a bag of like bulk loose leaf Assam.
Nice.
After that, it's not as good. Obviously, it's like bulk tea, so it's like way garbagier.
Yeah,
but like I am on that train now.
Oh hell yeah, dude! Yeah, because like I was drinking.
Yeah, that was the best. Because that was my favorite, at least.
Yeah, because you kept being like, you know, oh, I really like malty tea. Malty tea.
Yeah, it's just malt.
Yeah, I did. Then I drank it. I was just like, holy shit, that's right. This tea is just tastes like malt.
It's amazing. the arbor, the rare arbor tea was good. Although, I mean, it was drinking wood.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, all Pu'era teas are like funky as hell. Like some of them are like mushroomy. That one is, yeah, that's definitely like,
it was wood. It was like drinking liquid wood. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, did we accidentally like just put like wood chips in here? and then the Hoja Cha, I'm not a big fan of.
Okay.
But Mason loves it, so
okay, perfect.
It's like it's the best. Just like I'll make it when people are over. Tea,
yeah, it's a weird tea. So it works really well. It's got a very like, you know what I actually find? I like that one better as an iced tea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that one, like okay. That one as an iced tea, even unsweetened, is incredible because it's like the weirdness of it when you're drinking it. Like hot becomes just like a really like refreshing taste when it's cold. So give it a try.
I could see that.
Yeah,
I will. Yeah, but yes, they're all very good though. Still.
So wait, have you finished some of those teas?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, dude!
They didn't really send me that much.
I mean, but are you brewing multiple times with each?
Of course.
And oh my god, and you've still finished? My god, like, you must drink a lot of tea.
Yeah, I drink like I usually drink multiple cups a day.
Okay.
At least.
Okay.
I was sick though all week, so I've actually had very little tea or caffeine at all.
Mm.
I try not to drink caffeine when I'm sick.
Fair enough. But man, oh my, because like, I mean, it takes me like ages to go through. I mean, how much are you putting in like in one thing? You're just like,
not very much.
Okay.
Just like, I mean, it gives you the instructions. I just weigh out the like.
Oh, you do weigh it out. Okay.
Like grams, and then you know. I mean, okay. So I use like a French press essentially to make it, which has worked really well for me, I think.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, a French, like one French press worth of coffee is like, you know, they didn't send me a lot in each bag or anything.
Yeah. It's like 25 grams, I think, usually.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like, you know,
no,
it's 3 cups per French press. Okay, so I really drink like 6 cups.
Yeah, okay, there we go. That's what I was, because like usually in a night I'll drink like maybe like, you know,
I do 2 French presses.
Yeah, okay.
Worth.
Okay. That's so. that was I was like, you
and
must...
each French press I do, I can get 2 good brews out of it and like a third like shitty brew if I'm feeling desperate.
Yeah.
But I usually just skip the third brew and just brew another French press.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Okay. And the other thing too is usually like, I mean, I buy a bunch of teas and rotate through them, whereas I'm sure you just like kill the tea and went to the next one.
Yeah, I like, I had a little bit of the Irish breakfast and then I like tried the Assam and I just killed that like within like 3 days.
I can imagine that.
I was just like, oh my god, this is like, I'm just gonna, oh my god, this is the best thing ever. And then like I went back to the Irish breakfast and I was like, god damn it, I can't drink Irish breakfast anymore.
Now that you have the true malt.
Yeah. And then the Arbor went pretty quick after that because it was the next best one.
Yeah.
And then I still have Hoja Cha and I still do have Arbor.
Okay.
Because that, it's hard to drink.
It is. Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Oh, okay. All right. I had a feeling. I was like, when I put the Assam in there, I was like, yeah, if Steven really does, if he's true to his word and he likes malt, he's going to destroy that tea. So
yeah, no, that was the best one for sure. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah.
All right, cool. Excellent. Oh, I'm very happy about this. Very happy about this. Oh, sweet. But yes, no, I've been doing stuff. Like we watched a few animes.
Great. From the new season?
Technically, yes, we did, because we watched Jujutsu Kaisen and Ancient Magus Bride were both ones that had a season this past one, right? If I recall correctly.
Yes.
Or a core, maybe.
I think that's correct.
Okay. And we're in the middle of the second season of Jujutsu Kaisen, which, by the way, is fucking fantastic. I don't know if you've watched that at all.
I haven't. I know it's good. I just have not been motivated to enjoy, like, I don't want that particular brand of good.
Okay.
At the moment.
Yeah.
That's all.
And when you say that particular brand of good, I'm assuming you're talking about, like, just kind of like the
shonen battle anime of the decade, probably.
Yeah. 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 It's definitely got that flavor to it. Yeah.
It's just the new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The new, like, high budget shonen.
It's really, like, I feel like either they're doing a lot of hand animation or they're...
Oh, no, they figured out some sort of digital wizardry. I'm positive.
Or they figured, because it looks like...
It looks great.
It looks incredible. Like, because, I mean, even with like Demon Slayer, like, it looks like the computer graphics that they've done in it are, like, very good, but, like, it's computer graphic-y. Like, you know, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, they're clearly using computer graphics to, you know, fill this part in, but it's like, ooh, with Jujutsu Kaisen, I'm like, ooh, they got something figured out, or they're just doing a lot of hand animation because it looks really fucking good. I'm like, man. But
I think it's probably a case where the animation style they're using is like they figured out how to make a CG style, and then they were like, okay, so if we draw like this, you can never tell which it is.
That, you know, that is also probably fair. That they,
because the art style is weird.
It is a little weird, yeah.
It's a little weird, and like you get used to it, and you're like, oh, this is all hand drawn, but it's like, is it?
And I feel
they're
like
just tricking you.
Yeah, and I feel like in the second season, I'm noticing more computer stuff than in the first season. The first season, I'm like, ooh, did they hand draw all of this? It's like,
yeah,
maybe not, but it looks fucking great. And then, yeah, Ancient Magus Bride was not, I don't know what I was expecting. I liked it, but I don't know what I was expecting.
What were you expecting? It's pretty, it's pretty what it is.
I guess, I don't know. I guess I wasn't expecting it to be like a romance anime. I don't know why.
Oh, why? It's called, why are you not expecting that?
I literally don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally just about a woman who gets like, it's the old like getting sacrificed to the gods thing, only just like she actually is married to like a god.
Yeah, I don't know
it's
what great. I...
Yeah, it's adorable.
It is adorable. It's actually really, really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah. And then, oh God, we watched... we watched a playthrough of some dude's VR MMO or whatever the fuck it was called.
Oh, yeah, whatever. The one with the bird head?
Oh, I mean... No, okay. You're thinking is that Shangri-La Frontier?
Yeah, Shangri-La Frontier.
No, this is the less good Shangri-La Frontier.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting that you even recognized. Why not just watch Shangri-La Frontier in that case?
Because I got them mixed up. Yeah. A playthrough of a certain dude's VR MMO life.
Oh, wow. That's literally what it's called.
It's pretty garbage.
Yeah. Doesn't shock me.
I'm not going to lie to you. It's pretty garbage.
Wow.
So, yeah. That was garbage. I regret watching that. I watched to the end and like I was like, ah, you know, if this gets another season, I don't know if I'm gonna watch it. That's how bad it was. Saint's magic power is omnipotent. Very good. Into that. I was into that.
That's a good one.
That was into that. And then I'm in love with the villainous. I've been watching a lot of, been throwing a lot of fair amount of like villainous ones, like Otome game ones on there.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Those are good. Yeah. I have one I could recommend.
Which one?
Seventh Time Loop. The villainous enjoys a carefree life. It's airing right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Seventh.
It's one of the airing ones.
Villainous enjoys a carefree life married to a worst enemy. Fuck yeah. Add to the watch list. That will be an easy sell for Lauren.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Yeah. That's not going to be hard.
Yeah. Fuck, man. So actually, you know, that brings me to the thing I did want to talk about. You know, okay. So my least favorite episode of this podcast that we've made over the years has been the anime episode. Like, I hate it. I actually hate it. And it's also annoying too, because it's one of the more watched, one of the more listened to ones that we have. And I despise it. I hate all of my arguments in it. And I hate everything that I've said. And also, like, it's so at the time that I watched it, I'd functionally watched or at the time that we made that episode, I'd functionally watched no anime at all, as far as I was concerned.
Yeah.
So I don't know why the fuck I thought that was a good topic at the time. But I want to revisit it. I know we talk about anime a shit ton, but I want to zoom out.
Always happy to talk. I've watched a lot of anime.
Yes, you have. You've watched and I have now watched a decent amount.
Yeah, you watched a lot of anime too.
Yes.
Of course, in the grand scheme of things, neither of us have watched even a tiny infinitesimal fraction of anime.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, nobody's watched any amount of media ever, as far as I'm concerned, yeah. By that standard. But that being said, yes, we've watched less than most people, and we're not qualified to have any discussions ever. But that's the fun of the podcast.
Sure, of course.
We're never qualified to have any of the discussions that we have. but yeah, I do have to tell you a little bit of a story as like a preface, especially like to inform.
Yeah, I also don't remember the anime episode, so.
That's probably for the best. like when I, like many years ago, I actually got Crunchyroll, and because I wanted to watch like some of the stuff that we used to watch. Right. And so I got this was like 8 years ago or something like that. So before I got it, like I ended up, you know, watching stuff on it, but I got it and I turned it on and I was like, I looked through, I was like, oh, Crunchyroll doesn't have anything. Like they don't have any anime, because it's like, what? I don't fucking see any of the shows that we used to watch. I don't see fucking Gundam, although they do have Gundam now. I don't see, like, you know, Trigun or like any of that stuff. I was just like, what the fuck is the point of this? There's no anime on this. Little did I know that several years later, around like, you know, the beginning of COVID, like we'd get a Crunchyroll subscription again and then just fucking never watch anything else. So, yeah, so when we made that episode at the time, I was still kind of just coming out of that of like I'd only watched a couple things other than, you know, like the stuff that we watch, like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, the Adult Swim.
Yeah, the Adult Swim. So like Dragon Ball Z, the little tiny bits of like some of those other shows that I actually watched. Like, I mean, I think out of all of them, Trigun is probably the one I watched the most of, because when I went back to watch, I know I've talked about this previously, but when I went back to watch like Cowboy Bebop, I was like, wow, I recognize like two of these episodes.
Yeah.
The rest of this, it's like I must have seen those two and thought, oh, that's the show, that's everything, I've watched everything now. But yeah, man, like I don't know, like I guess, like here's a question for you that I want to know is like, when you're, what is like, what is your buckets for anime? Like, what puts something into like, yeah, this fucking rules? Like, what puts this into like, yeah, okay, this is pretty good, and then what puts this into like fucking just, this is trash, I don't want to, nobody should watch this.
Oh my god, I mean, that's a big question.
Well, that's what we do, we tackle the big questions here.
Yeah, we tackle the big questions here. Yeah, it's like that's changed over the years for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like even my answer a year ago probably would be different than my answer now.
Mm.
Do you have an answer?
Well, the one thing I obviously I've had the benefit of already having thought of this a little bit is because one of the things that I've noticed with anime now that I've spent some time watching it, you know, like is, and before I say anything, I know that some of the things that I'm going to say apply to almost all media, but like, hear me out. So with anime, I've now that I've watched a lot of like the same genre of shows, like multiple versions of the same genre, like the same isekai, like multiple isekais, multiple sports animes, multiple, you know, whatever, right? Like anime is aggressively tropey, I would say. Like, and again, not to say that, I mean, tropes exist, right? Like, you know, all media has tropes and then like to some degree they fall into them. But I feel like one of the things I've noticed with anime is like they lean into it much harder. I don't know if that's a fair assessment, that like there's like a fucking checklist of like, okay, cool, I'm making an isekai, so then these things need to happen in order for it to be an isekai. Or like, okay, I'm making, you know, a fucking, like, I'm making a sports anime, here are the things, like, you know, they gotta go to the this tournament, and they gotta, you know, like whatever, it's like, you know, and these kind of like types of things need to happen. And I feel like that gets followed more in anime, or at least is more, what's the word for it? More like acknowledged, I guess. It's like, it's more naked. It's more laid bare. It's just like, yes, we are doing the tropes, we're going to do the things, right?
That's true.
Okay.
Essentially.
Yeah.
I would have agreed with you at one point in time, but I don't know. Now I feel like it's no more reliant on tropes than like American television or French television or Korean, especially now that I've seen Korean television and Chinese television more,
mm-hmm.
like, no, no, everyone's just uncreative, actually. We're just bad storytellers.
So here's the thing, right? I don't even think it's necessarily like a creativity thing. I think that it's like, you know, there's expectations, right? And like, I feel like it's even like, it's part of the medium that like you're supposed to do some of these things, right? It's like,
yes,
you know, that's like, you gotta have the fucking, they gotta go to a hot spring, right? You know, it's like, and I feel like the ones that are the best are the ones that like subvert your expectations on that in a fun way. Cause like some of them subvert it and it's like, yeah, okay, but like that was like the most boring way you could have possibly subverted that, whatever, like who cares? Whereas some of them it's like, oh, that was tricky how you did that, you know? Like, I feel like some of the ones that like are the most interesting kind of fall into that category for me now of like, I've seen, you know, like all like a mountain of isekais. And so it's like when they do something different with the like the set of steps or the tropes, I'm like, oh, nice. Okay, that was clever. I like that. So that's one of the things that I've realized is like that kind of that tropiness is something that could be used, like, is used. I mean, and like, you know, again, does all media like try to subvert tropes? Sure. But I feel like because it's so ingrained in the medium and it's so like, yes, we're going to do these things, that when you properly subvert it in anime, like, I feel like it works. It has a greater effect than it does normally.
I feel like part of it is more that just because of how anime is produced, right? It's like, what other animation industry produces like 36 brand new shows every 4 months?
True.
It's like the production schedule is insane, is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
This like the structure they've laid out for themselves is like, yes, as a studio, we will do 7 shows this year. And it's like, it's baffling.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I think as a consequence of that, of course, that like, they're like, okay, this decade is isekai. We're just going to make like 27 isekai. And we're going to get really good at drawing that like summoning sequence into the courtroom. So good at it. We don't even know how good we're going to be at drawing that courtroom sequence. And it's like, okay. Then some other studio is like, man, there's way too much isekai out there. We should do something else. And then people are like, latch on to that. And then that's the new thing for the decade. I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing that
I think that has a lot to do with it.
I also wonder, and you'll have to tell me because you probably know this better than I do, because I don't really read manga at all. But like, is the...
Oh, yeah. And it all stems from manga, of course. Yeah.
Like, is the manga as like...
Way more so.
Okay, so it's not like, oh, we have this, you know, this story and then we're kind of like, you know, pushing it into these molds. It's like the manga itself is also very tropey, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah, of course. God, yeah.
And
yeah,
I assume
more so. Yeah. And there's like 20 billion more of them.
And I assume probably the same kind of like ridiculous production schedule of like, hey, well, you've got to get this out, you know, next week because there's another, you know, issue of...
Yeah, there's another issue.
Shonen Jump. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So you need to fucking do it right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I never thought about that of like, as a consequence of the production schedule, it's like a lot of the story beats, you just do them and then you try to make them interesting along the way.
And almost all these manga that are like, that get big, these are like... the first manga, right? It's like not a lot of mangaka get to do multiple big stories, right? It's like you get one.
Yeah.
Right? And so like it's some like, you know, younger person who isn't as like experienced and they're just like, yeah, I'm gonna like, I love this and I'm gonna do like this, but they're a spider instead of a slime. Right? Just like, yeah. And they got transformed into a spider and sent to a fantasy world. And it's like, that's enough for them to like be passionate about it and like produce 200 chapters if it blows up.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they go and get a job at an office building.
Yeah. Become a salary man.
Give up on their dreams. Yeah. Become a salary man. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. You know, I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Cause I never really thought about like the production schedule, but like that is, and so it's like almost as a consequence of the production schedule of manga and then the production schedule of anime. It's like you end up with that type of like, okay, you know, yes, we have the template, but then we have to do something with that template. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's, I mean, like, obviously there's a cultural element, like you're saying, right? That just like the Japanese appreciate just like, yes, we must like retain the like crucial elements of this form and like only introduce one tiny change to each iteration. Just like, yes, isekai, but actually it's isekai with cooking.
Yes.
Now. And it's like, yes, haha.
Yeah.
Truly we have achieved perfection. And they just tweak it a little bit each time. But, you know, this is also the culture that, like, I mean, we've gotten to the point where there's just, like, straight up, like, porn animes.
Yeah.
Like, I think we've discussed this before probably, but, like, there's, like, I think there's two different shows airing this year where there's, like, I can see that there's the show, right? And then next to it, it's show, parentheses, uncensored. Parentheses. And it's like, oh, so there's like the four air version, and then there's this like, yes, this is actually just hentai.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, and we're there.
And even that has tropes.
And even that, yeah, that's like, we've had to go from interspecies reviewers one season to like something else the next season to now we're at what? I think it's called I'm Gushing Over Magical Girls. That's what it's called.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, anime.
Yeah.
So yes, my criterion.
Yes.
For good, bad, worst.
Yeah. I love how it went from like amazing, good, bad to good, bad, worst. The story tells me some of what you
do. Do you want like a straight up just like here are the like literal like bare bones steps I take to filter anime out, or do you want like a more like artsy description of what I'm doing?
Oh man, I mean I'm a sucker for artsy descriptions. Give me an artsy description.
Okay, an artsy description. I attempt to like do like. Because anime is what we've just described, is like a constant like reinforcing of tropes while also like changing a single element.
Uh-huh.
I try to look for like the anime that changes the single element the best.
Yeah.
That's the key, right? Is like which anime was like, did they add the word to the like two sentence long description of their title, which is also the title. It's like, what was it? Like, what added the best word?
Mm-hmm.
Was it like, was it delicious? Is food anime? Is that the best anime this year? No, it's not. It's never the food anime. The food anime is a trap. They're good. They're always good. They're never the best.
Uh-huh.
It's never food anime. Okay. Is it the sequel to Blue Exorcist? No, it's never the sequel. Sequel's also a trap. The wrong way to use healing magic. There we go. See, that's the winner. Because it's the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah.
So that has to be the best one. That's probably the best one this year. So there we go.
That's your filter.
That's it. Now, if you actually want to know, it's like I go to my anime list and I like ignore everything under like a 7. And then I just like filter everything that has ecchi in it.
Yep.
And then I look at like those 6.
And then you realize you're not going to be watching anything that season because you filtered out things that have ecchi in it.
Actually, thankfully, it's not as bad as it used to be, because I think those, like, porn animes have, like, kind of absorbed some of the horniness.
Oh, okay. They basically, like worked as, like a blow-off valve.
A blow-off valve, exactly. Yeah.
It's just like, okay, you guys just go over here. It's fine. You know, we get what you want. We'll make it for you. Everybody else is here to watch television.
So I think that's the best way.
Yeah.
And you just don't watch the rest of it.
Yeah, well, the tricky part for me is not watching the rest of it.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Romance anime is generally bad unless it's really good. But then if it's really good, you'll hear about it.
Yes.
Right? That's the key, is like you can rely on like things to filter through to a certain degree. I do watch just like every isekai, though.
Ultimately. Because it's just a fun genre. I'm just like, all right, what are they going to do next? What are those guys going to do next with this?
Yeah, it is. It's great. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. And you can always just like, it's pretty easy to tell which ones are going to be good or bad.
Yeah, yeah, just there's like, there is a degree of like, okay, I'm looking at the title, I'm looking at the thing, I'm like, this looks like it's going to be stupid.
Yeah.
I will say, I have found that sometimes the stupider the title sounds, the better I found the animes to be. Like if it's
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like, you're not going to agree with this one, but like, The vending machine, like, oh, I'm a vending machine. I was like, okay, that's a really stupid title. This one's probably gonna be pretty good. And then I watched it. I was like, I love this. I love this. I know you didn't like it, but I was like, I love this. This is perfect.
Yeah, I gave up on that one for sure.
I know you did.
It wasn't different enough.
It's interesting.
It's like it found a way to shoehorn all of the interesting things that it could do back into boring isekai tropes. And so I didn't find that interesting because it was like, yes, I can like sell to goblins, but like I sell them goblin items, right? Like, didn't that happen? Pretty sure that happened.
Maybe.
I don't know. I didn't watch it long enough to really.
I watched so much anime that I don't. I mean, you did. Yeah. Even though I really liked it, it's just like, I'm like, I don't remember the plot of it. I just remember the drink. I just remember I liked it while I was watching it. That's. But see, okay, so what you've just told me is how you filter out like on a per season basis, which totally makes sense. But like, then there's like the best of the best stuff. And I feel like that stuff is stuff that like completely comes out of left field, you know, like things where I'm like, ooh, I've never watched anything like this before, you know?
Well, sure. Those are prestige animes.
Okay. Yeah. Those are the prestige animes. Got it.
Yeah. You just wait for those.
Like Black Lagoon. I don't feel like I ever really watched anything like Black Lagoon before, like the way that it was presented. I mean, like, there's elements of it that I guess sort of, but like I wouldn't like it. It would be difficult for me to be like, Black Lagoon is like this.
Yeah, well, because Black Lagoon is like a classic obviously now.
Yeah,
those are just, you know, those happen.
Mm-hmm.
You just gotta like, that's why I watch anime every season essentially.
Yeah,
right? Because occasionally you just get like one that's just like, oh yeah, this one's like just like the best.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this, like, oh, this is Odd Taxi. That's another one where I was just like, never seen anything like this before, you know? Like, that was just like, that again totally just came out of like left field for me. One that actually I did watch and I forgot about this, I don't know how, but I watched that Zomcom one.
Oh yeah,
that was another one that like, I don't know. It was really good. It's very existential, which sometimes is like a tough watch for me. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Don't make me like question my whole like life right now.
Everything.
Yeah. But like it was very well animated, very well done. But yeah, I don't know. It's like, because the thing that I was trying to pin down the last time we talked about this, like at length, is I was trying to pin down what it is about anime in particular that like, just what it is, right? Like at a very high level of like you, cause it's like, you know, you can animate something in an anime style and have it not necessarily be anime, you know? Like, and I think I do, of all of the things, I do still stand behind that I don't think that art style alone is the thing of the genre, but I do think that some of the like the leaning into like the tropey elements, I think to some degree is there, but it, obviously it's not present with like all animes. You know, I think the more that I think about it, I think that I've come to agree that I think what you argued at that time, if I remember correctly, is it's mostly about just like cultural elements that like just aren't there.
It's Japanese animation.
Yeah. And like it's less the art style and more like the way that like some of the cultural elements come across. And like the more that I've watched, I'm like, I think that has to be right.
I mean, that is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be, because, you know, and Japan's extremely insular, right? And so, like, their culture doesn't leak out in quite the same way that, like, American culture leaks out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Japanese culture leaks out through things Japan makes, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, people get the wonderful benefit of actually getting to meet Americans everywhere, all the time. Constantly.
They are everywhere. But yeah, no, I mean, like, it's like there's absolutely an element now that like, just like in the way, I think it's like in the way the characters behave, you know, and like the archetypes that exist in Japanese media versus Western media, like that even similar archetypes behave differently, you know, like a Japanese hero behaves differently than a Western hero, which, I mean, it's obvious shit, right? Like, it's, but it's something that never really like clicked, especially since a lot of the anime that I was, you know, consuming at the time was stuff that, like, I feel like you've told me, and maybe I'm remembering this correctly, a lot of it was like more aimed at, like, not more
American audiences.
More aimed at American audiences. So I'm not like making that up.
100% that is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, so like some of those elements are a little bit more toned down / not there as much. Like they're almost more the exceptions than anything else. And I think that I've come to realize after watching just an absolute mountain of anime that, like, okay, that is the case. It's like all of these archetypes, they're still archetypes, right? There's still tropes associated with them and all that stuff, but like they're a different flavor of that archetype, a very Japanese flavor of that archetype. And yeah, I don't know. It's just because it's always been one of those things that's like, and the reason why is because, like, I watched Avatar: The Last Airbender, you know, like many, many years ago, which I think very unabashedly, like, is kind of like a Western anime, you know, like,
it is trying to ape the anime style.
Yeah. And it isn't like, it isn't really like, it doesn't, it looks the part,
yes,
but it doesn't actually, like, doesn't have the same mouthfeel, you know? And I've been trying to, like, piece that apart in my head for a long time, and I think that is it. Is like the characters in something like Avatar are just a little bit more Western, you know, like the way that, like, they approach things and like the way that they talk and the way that they do things. It's just like, even though they look like anime characters, like it's a Western mindset and Western archetypes, and I think that that's kind of what changes things.
So what I think you'd find interesting now to do is get, first of all, watch Solo Leveling. That's airing right now.
Yeah, that's on my list.
And you might actually want to watch Tower of God. Is that on your list?
I don't know that it is, no.
You should put that on your list if it's not on your list.
These are the Korean animes, right?
Yes, because I think you should watch those, and then you should also, I mean, you're never going to, but maybe they might eventually make like a Tales of Demons and Gods anime, because that's Wuja. And that's Chinese.
Okay.
And I think you'd find all of the different comparisons between Korean and Chinese and Japanese heroes now to be very interesting. Because it's also a very similar where you're expecting, like a Korean hero is very, very obsessed with family in almost the exact opposite way a Japanese hero is, right? They're very like, gotta take care of my mom. Like, that's like my number one priority. Like, don't care about anything else. Mm-hmm. Like Wuja heroes, like they're like female supporting characters have way more agency than their Japanese counterparts. Just like the first time I read a Wuja, and I was like, but the female characters are still distinctly like restrained, right, into feminine roles. They're just different feminine roles in Chinese Wuja, and it's very weird to be like, oh, she's like defending herself successfully, like you would never be able to do that in a Japanese anime. But then like she like openly seduces the main character because it's like they don't have the same like hang-ups about like female sexual agency. And so like that's very interesting. And so like now you can probably appreciate those comparisons too.
Oh my god, that was one of the most infuriating things about Saints Magic Must Be Omnipotent or whatever. Like, it liked it, right? Thought it was really good, but like it is so hilarious to me, like the whole Japanese concept of like this person, like, you know, like she's the saint, right? Like she's like literally the most like important person in like their whole kingdom, you know, and like has to have constant like bodyguards and stuff like that, and yet like she's like, oh, am I good enough for like the main it's like, lady, you're the fucking, like, you basically are a goddess as far as they're concerned, and they're like, and you're like, oh, but am I good enough? It's just like, that's a very Japanese approach that like just doesn't, like, I'm so used to it that I'm just like, ah, you know, like I almost barely like goes above the radar, and yet like what I'm watching, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, this is a very anime approach to things, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've both, you know, grown up with anime, so we're used to those tropes to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But they're different.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, like, because Solo Leveling was going to be the first Korean, is Wuja. That's the right term?
Yeah. No. Korean it's Korean anime.
Oh, Korean,
I mean,
no, Korean's manhwa, right?
Manhwa, but you didn't, but that's how, you know, manga, manhwa.
Yeah, manga,
Wuja.
Manhwa. Yeah.
And then Wuja's the Chinese one. Yeah.
Got it.
But, like, you know, when you watch Solo Leveling, like family is very important to them, and also corporations. Pretty much all Korean manhwa revolves around those two things.
That's fair.
To the exclusion of everything else. That's very crazy.
That is really interesting. I wonder what
their entire society is underpinned by like three corporations, right?
Yeah,
like
I guess
Samsung,
LG,
Hyundai, LG's whatever.
Korean, right? LG's Korean.
Yeah, no, you're right. Korean, LG, Samsung, and one other one. I don't know. I'm sure my roommate does, but I don't know. But like that's like 70% of their economy or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right? It's like that is Korea.
Yeah.
Are those corporations. So it's like every Korean manhwa is about a character like choosing between these different corporations and their family, putting all this pressure on them, and yet at the same time they're struggling to also take care of their family in the best way possible. It's hilarious.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I'm looking forward to that because, yeah, the weirdest thing for me is going to be listening and be like, nope, I don't understand any of these words now.
Oh, yeah. They're pretty good about that. There's not really a lot of the Korean honorifics are like weird, twisted versions of the Japanese honorifics or vice versa, whatever.
Oh, I mean, literally the Japanese.
Oh, because you can understand, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's now at the point where like when I'm watching anime, I'm like catching like, you know, 30 to 40% of the words.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, oh, I know that word. I don't know that word. I don't know that word.
Well, it's still going to be in Japanese.
Oh, is it still in Japanese?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Oh, I assumed it was going to be in Korean.
Pretty sure that's not how that works.
Oh.
Pretty sure it's still in Japanese. Because it's using...
Is it still Japanese?
Japanese voice actors.
Oh, so is it still Japanese animation studios? Like,
yeah, A1 Pictures. Yeah, Japanese animation. Yeah, it's Japanese still. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's...
Yeah. Same with Tower of God, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
It's just Japanese. Tower of God might be different. I feel like I might be wrong about that, but
okay.
But the anime is definitely Japanese. Yes, 100%.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I wasn't aware of that. I had just kind of made the assumption that it was going to be in Korean, but okay, I get it. Okay, yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay, so it's a Japanese animation studio doing a Korean manhwa.
Yeah, because Korean manhwa is like the big. Like fast growing thing. It's the new popular thing.
It's the new hotness. Okay. Interesting. Well, yes, I'm looking forward to that. I have to check that out. But yes, so I feel like you gave me the answer a long time ago, and I just now I'm acknowledging that you are 100% correct on that after having done my research. I did extensive research into anime and found that you were correct. It's just a cultural thing.
It's just a cultural thing. Yeah.
Oh shit.
But if you watch enough of it, you forget that. And you're just like, oh, anime is just like this omnipresent. It's like, no, you just got used to the cultural elements.
Then you watch American TV. You're like, oh, that's right. Wait, what?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, that's the thing is like, you know, I watched way more as I like got older. I watched more American TV and more like bad American TV, mm-hmm. like NCIS equivalent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very eye-opening to be like, oh, okay, we're actually like just as creatively bankrupt as anyone else. Like, I can't lay that at the feet of the Japanese. Like,
well, and I will say this too, because it's like, you know, what I don't think I appreciated how much like anime in Japan is kind of similar to, and this is not a dig, like, I think this is just might be true. And you just tell me if I'm totally off base, but I think that anime in Japan is very similar to like telenovela is like in Spanish speaking countries. Like, am I like totally out of whack on that?
I think those are different phenomena.
You think so?
I guess I understand where you're coming from, but like yes, but in the exact opposite way. Like I feel like Spanish speaking countries consume telenovelas like in a loyalty based sense, like they consume the same one.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
right. Whereas like the anime, they're consuming the genre of anime, right? Like people are watching isekai anime, and like it's the same thing. Like you're right, but in the same way, you're like exactly wrong.
It's interesting. Right? Yeah. Okay. No, I think I see what you're saying. Yeah. It's because it's like, I mean, because especially since those are like run for a million years.
Exactly. Like you can't be loyal to like an anime that ran for 3 months and then it's gone forever.
Yeah. But like,
but you can be loyal to the concept of isekai anime and watch all 20 billion of them.
Yeah. Which is why like there's a lot of, you know, I mean, a lot of recycled plot lines and a lot of like the same kind of like, you know, it's like, okay, it's like, I want more of this, more of the same, more of the same. Like, you know, just give me like slightly different character. Like in the way that's like, you know, you watch a telenovela for, I assume, like, you know, 10 years. And after a while, half the characters are dead.
Or, or how we made superhero movies for like a decade and a half.
Oh yeah. God. I mean, well, yes.
Right. We just did that. We just were like, okay, would you want more superhero movies? Okay. Here you go. Here's more of them. You wanted more? Oh, okay, sure, yeah, great. Here's more superhero movies.
You ready for the inflammatory comment from me?
Mm-hmm.
The Marvel movies are just telenovela for comic book nerds.
Yeah.
There's my the title of this podcast.
Comic books are telenovela for comic book nerds.
Okay, yeah. they're even better.
Yeah.
Comic books are just telenovela in print form.
They are. They're really bad.
I mean, I kind of, you know, reading some of these comic book synopses, I kind of had come to that conclusion a long time ago. Yeah. I'm just like,
as someone who's read a lot of comic books, they're bad.
It's like you thought this character was dead, but really they were just in a coma for 40 years and now they're back. And they have a different face because that actor quit a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Someone Christ. Else. There we go. We solved anime. Thank God.
Anime. You can do whatever you want in anime.
Oh man. So what you been playing recently?
Still Cataclysm.
Okay.
Still Cataclysm. Got back into Cataclysm. But I've also been playing the new Dread Delusion update. It's like a old school ARPG, you know, think old From Software. You know, the like, oh my god, what's the series called? What's their original
Kingsfield
series? Kingsfield, thank you. Think like Kingsfield style sword and sorcery, but like first person.
Dread Delusion.
Kind of a little, it's a little Morrowind-y.
Interesting.
It's very, very good. And they just had a like big, like the first major content update they've had, essentially. Like they've added a whole new zone for once. And so I'm very excited to get there.
So, I mean, this is something that's been going on for a while. You said the new update, so I'm assuming this is...
Yes, it's an early access, though, I think. Yeah. I've had it for a year or two at this point.
Oh, really?
It's pretty consistent with updates. The first time I played it, I was really wowed. And I was like, okay, I need to wait for there to be more game.
Uh-huh.
Because this is, like, the best thing ever. And now there's more game. And there's been more game added throughout the years, but this is like a significant quantity of game, so I'm excited.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's like, especially the movement mechanics, like as a mage especially, you get to the point where like what once would have taken you like an hour to traverse, you can do in literally like 5 seconds by just like running really fast and jumping. So that's, it's like very much like Morrowind.
I was about to say, that sounds very Morrowind.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun because you're just like, it's like at the start of the game, you're like, okay, like I'm going to like trudge from this field over to the town and it's like 10 feet, but the movement is so slow. And then just like before I left, I had to like find a hut somewhere. And so I just literally like traversed up and down the entire continent essentially like multiple times. Just like, where is it? Like... Where is it? Is it over on this side of the island? No, okay. Oh, is it over here? Nope. Oh, I'm just going to jump clear across 12 cities. Oh, is it here? No. Like, so very fun.
Interesting. Yeah. Have you ever heard of Lunacid?
Yes, I have. I also think I either own it or it's on my wish list.
Okay. I was about to say, because I mean, like, I've been meaning to talk to you about that for the better part of, like, I don't know, 6 to 7 months, and I keep forgetting that it's a game that exists, but...
It's out now, too.
Oh, is it like, fully out now?
Yeah, 1.0.
Oh, shit, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm just seeing that on Steam. 1.0, okay, nice. Yeah, because I was about to say, I was like, if you haven't played Lunacid, obviously that's clearly something you need to play.
It's the same kind of, like, Cosmic Horror vibe.
Yeah.
Right? It's very cool.
Yeah, that one's been on my list for a while. Like, I actually have been waiting for it to come out on, like, the full version, and so now it's like, okay, well, shit, I guess I need to buy Lunacid now.
Yep, looks very good. I might play that after this. Although I did just join a Pixelmon server again, so.
Oh, yeah, I saw that popped up.
Yeah, that's back up, yep.
Oh, man, I don't have time for that now. I wish I did, but.
Yeah, that's kind of where I agreed to play it, but then as I was doing it, I was like, when am I ever going to get on here and, like, play Pixelmon again?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a segue to Pal World.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean...
Yeah, I haven't played it, but, you know, it is the big thing right now.
Yeah, I mean, it is the thing. And there's a VR mod for it.
No.
Oh my yes.
God, of course. Of course there is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's VR mods for everything now, it seems.
Yeah, with UEVR, yeah.
What?
Oh, are you not aware of this?
Nope.
Okay, so there's this thing called UEVR, basically Unreal Engine VR. And essentially, if your game has been developed on like a certain Unreal Engine or above, it can be just basically instantly ported to VR.
Oh, that's cool.
And so since that's dropped, like, and I believe Pal World is an Unreal Engine game, if sure, I recall yep. correctly. And so it's like basically like in like 2 days, they were able to, you know, turn it into like a VR game because UEVR basically makes it like trivial essentially to port anything to VR now. So anything that's in Unreal Engine. So yeah, I was like, oh shit, there's a fucking Power World VR. There's a, I mean, what was the other one too? I don't know if this one was UEVR or not, but
oh, Hogwarts Legacy in VR.
Oh shit, I was gonna say Lethal Company.
Whoa,
but
whoa.
Yeah, there's a VR.
Oh, that's crazy.
Hogwarts Very Legacy. That would actually might be worth playing.
That
in
would
VR.
Be worth. Yeah, I'm thinking about like, ooh, maybe I need to load up some Hogwarts Legacy and like walk around Hogwarts in VR for a little bit. My computer could not handle that.
Just catch
it
on fire.
It would explode. Exactly. Yeah, it would explode in a million pieces. I wish it would catch on fire. It would catch on fire so quickly that it would cause a shockwave.
But yeah, Pal World, man. Fuck. I mean, what can be, I
it
really...
looks so bad. It looks so bad. I hate that I'm like one of the people who are like, eh, how dare people have fun? Eh, how dare they? It's just like, but it looks so bad. Like, why is this the game that got like 12 million sales? Like, what is wrong with people?
You know, honestly, so from the outside looking in, because I have absolutely, I mean, other than like the very small amounts of things that I've like seen or heard about on the game, I think that it's weird is number one, is like, it's just like, fucking what the fuck is this game? And then also it's apparently not terrible, which is just surprising. Like you would expect
Survival Evolved combined with Conan Empires or whatever.
Yep. Combined with Pokemon, combined with guns.
Combined with Pokemon. No, but no, like you don't even need the guns part. Like Ark and Conan get you to guns. Like,
oh, they do. Okay. Okay, yeah, perfect.
Like, you don't need that extra part. So it's just the newest like skin of the like early access survival game.
Yep.
And I just like, when are people going to get tired of those? Like, couldn't it have been a long time ago? Please.
I mean, you say that as you're about to go back, like, well, not you, but people are about to go back into a Pokecraft or whatever.
Pokemon, yeah, Pixelmon.
Pixelmon. I mean, like, it's survival crafting. It's the original survival crafting.
Yes, and I'm also very unexcited about playing that one. Honestly.
Yeah, but it's like people fucking love that shit, man. Like, yeah. I mean, there's a reason why Minecraft became ridiculously popular, because it's the forever game, you know?
I mean, I also like survival crafting. I just wish that, like, the genre evolved into something else.
It did. It evolved into Pokemon with guns.
Into Pixelmon. But it's like, it's not, oh my God, whatever. Yeah.
I think the big thing is just that it's like, it isn't as bad as people expected it to be. Because I remember when I originally saw the trailer for that, I was like, this is going to be garbage.
It was like garbage. Yeah. It's like you go in expecting it to be ha-ha.
Yeah. And it's like a serviceable game, and people are like, oh, that can't be. I have to play this now. Yeah,
it's crazy. Oh, what a world we live in.
It is indeed that.
And yet Cyberpunk wasn't good enough. Ugh, God.
But Cyberpunk has had a...
I bet if they had put like the ability to capture people and like force them to like build wooden huts, Cyberpunk would have gotten 5 million more...
Well, yeah. I mean, if you had to farm for resources to build up your motorcycle, then people would, of course.
Oh, my God. They would have eaten that shit up. Of course.
But,
oh.
You know, you say that, though, but, like, Cyberpunk has had, like, a huge fucking resurgence. Like, everybody is, like, because now everybody hates on Starfield. That's the new hotness to
sure, yeah, that's
people
true.
Are, like,
right,
I see so many videos now of like Cyberpunk compared to Starfield, and like it's like, look at how great Cyberpunk is.
Yeah, I forgot that that turn happened. No, you're right. I was there for that turn. I remember now.
Yeah, I just
forgot.
Yeah, Actually, it's funny. I booted up Cyberpunk recently just to like play a little bit. Now that like that some of the patches are out and all that, I was like, I'm gonna try to get back into it. I do need to like eventually like buy and play the DLC.
Yes, I do need to. I have the DLC. I just need to play it.
The problem is they've like changed all the skills and all like the cybernetics, and like I have no idea what anything is anymore. Not that it really matters. I mean, Cyberpunk is so easy that like it's trivial anyway. But like, I was just like, I don't really feel like I know what's going on. Like, I feel like I understood my build at least somewhat at some point.
Yeah, they changed it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And now I'm just like, I don't know. I just picked some skills that looked vaguely like what I had before, and then I don't know anything anymore about how the game works.
Yeah. 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 It's different. There's a lot of in air dodging stuff now.
Oh. Like, I'm not even getting into that. I mean, like, I'm because like I saw that part of the tree. I was just like, I want to keep doing my Netrunner build thing.
Oh, yeah, but that all changed too. Yeah.
Yeah. And but now it's like now there's like quick hack queues, and I'm like, am I doing it? Like, I hit multiple quick. Am I queuing? Like, I don't know what's happening anymore.
Am I queuing?
Am I queuing?
I don't know why that's funny.
I don't know why. It's probably
just imagine a very angry man just standing alone by himself.
Am I queuing? Am I queuing? Oh god, that's gonna be a contender for title of this one.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But
it's a lot. And Cataclysm is always there in the wings waiting to be played, and it's infinite.
Yeah, I mean that is your forever game, it seems.
It's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
I need to watch some video.
Pace of development has picked up so much recently too. It feels like it, like shit is happening. Like the game is like rapidly like evolving again, and it's like, what the fuck?
It's becoming sentient. We're reaching like, the Cataclysm singularity.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like they've significantly improved. Like, I know I talked about this last time, but like for a game that's like 10 years old to make significant AI improvements is like.
Wait,
like
Cataclysm isn't new?
No, it's old as fuck. It's super old. It's been going on for forever.
Oh, I just kind of got
on the train. I just the train is going 120 miles an hour. I just stuck my hand out and like got yanked on along with it. And I'm like, okay, I'm on the train now.
Okay, I just assumed that it was like a new thing.
Oh god, no, it's super old. That's what's so crazy is that it's like there's a resurgence because of Worm Girl. She's the one who does the tutorial videos.
Okay.
And she's been active in development and stuff. And like, I don't know, like she's her tutorial video is the only reason I'm like capable of playing the game. So.
Okay. I need to watch some of that then. Cause I was trying to find like some Cataclysm videos, and I was just kind of like overwhelmed.
I'm surprised I didn't link it. Let me see here.
No, I see it now. Worm Girl.
Yeah. Especially her, like her, whatever that is, it's called.
By the way, I just, as an aside, you fucking ruined me over Christmas with your YouTube Premium.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I got it. I had to get it. I was just like, yeah, fuck. Okay, fine. Yeah, I'll get YouTube Premium.
So nice to use YouTube with Premium.
You dirty piece of shit.
Yeah. Hey, YouTube, if you want to throw us this, a little something, you know.
Yeah, pay for my right YouTube there. Premium subscription.
The whole internet is like, YouTube Premium, that's stupid. And here we are. An island in a stormy sea for you.
Yeah. God. Fuck. God damn it. Maybe buy YouTube Premium. Ugh.
Yeah.
The thing is, here's the thing, right? Now with the baby, it's like I spend much more time watching YouTube on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's like, well, I don't want to watch ads. That's not something I want to participate in. So.
Yeah.
Yep, you did
pay for it.
You
paid for it since it was called YouTube Red. So yeah,
Jesus Christ!
I got on that train. And I never stepped off.
Yeah, and then you just forgot you had a subscription. And just
I was like, people that ads on YouTube. What are you talking about? YouTube is a free tunnel of constant content that never ends.
Oh Jesus!
So yeah, I linked the tutorial video. You should watch if you're ever interested.
Yeah, I am definitely interested in watching a tutorial and not playing the game.
Yeah, that's fine. The tutorial does like give you a very good idea of like what it means to exist for a day or two.
Yeah, I mean that's what I mean. I like watching people play shit like that. So you know,
it's a lot of fun. It's like, there's another guy that does like weird runs where he like starts on the aircraft carrier and stuff, and that's always fun.
Yeah, gotta watch some of that as well. been playing some VR recently. I know we did a little bit of that while you were up here, but shit, man, I'll tell you what, VR legs, they don't last.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you let those go, you got to get them back. It's not just like riding a bike. They don't just stay there. You got to fucking redo your VR legs.
You have the nausea problem, I guess, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Very lucky to have never had that.
You bastard.
I come pre-legged.
You do come pre-legged.
It's the same reason I don't get car sick. My brain doesn't care that I'm moving when I'm not supposed to be. My brain's like, whatever, dude.
Should have been the end of the sentence. Shouldn't have even gone that far. My brain just doesn't care.
My brain doesn't care.
Whatever.
It's good with whatever's going on.
Whatever's happening, that's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I will say, though, so, you know, one of the first things we talked about on this podcast was VR. Like, way the fuck back. Like, one of the things, like, is bothered me is, like, you know, when Half-Life Alyx came out, right, I thought, okay, now we're going to get some really good VR games. Like, people are going to see it. Yeah. And it just, like, I mean, unless they're still in development and, you know, genuinely, like, I don't know. I don't know what's happening, right? Because it's like, I feel like that I expected more to come out of that space after Alyx dropped. I feel like people were going to get it after that came out. And it just doesn't seem like... It seems like I still see the same stuff online from, like, it's like, oh, VR is, you know, it's a passing fad and, you know, whatever. And, like, there's no point. And, like, who wants to put on a giant bulky headset and all that? Which, I mean, fuck. Yeah, I know. I get it. Nobody wants to put on a giant bulky headset.
That was a very distinct. Also, too expensive. Throw that in one in there and you think you're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like there are still some, I don't know. Like, I still believe that it's the future. And I just, like, I don't know. I think
no,
that there's,
not.
You don't think so?
We're not .hack VR yet. We're not, like, full-body immersive VR yet. Like, until we will wear haptic feedback suits and, like, they manage to find a way to disconnect. Like, if when they figure out how to induce lucid dreaming states in it through the use of, like, direct magnetic stimulation headsets or whatever, right? So your body, like, gets disconnected, like, when you're asleep and you can, like, move your avatar fully, right, using, like, mental commands without the use of, like, your body having to also do those movements at the same time, right? Like, that's when VR will be good.
Oh, okay, so you're on Gabe Newell's train of we need brain computer interfaces.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only thing that'll ever make it acceptable.
I mean, honestly, like, in listening to him talk, I think that genuinely he doesn't want to make Half-Life 3 until we have brain computer interface. And, like, that's not even, like, a joke.
Yeah.
Like, I think literally,
and I
that's
think we're
he's
probably
like,
pretty close to that point. So, and I don't see a lot of science standing in the way of any of those things. It's just more a willingness to, like, put people in, like, physical danger for video games. It's like that's the wall we have right now. Is like, no one wants to make the, like, the thing that can actually dot hack you. Right? Like, no one actually wants to do that yet. No one's quite ready for, like, yeah, like, there was a surge in the power in this one neighborhood and, like
everybody
kids are in comas now. Just
everybody died.
Everyone died. Yeah, that's the more likely scenario. But
I mean, so, like, actually that's the thing, right? Because, like, so I just purchased a new television, right? And the thing that occurred to me in playing VR is, like, will this be, and it won't be, but, like, it's like, will this be the last television that I purchase? Like, when is the point when instead of a TV, we just have a bunch of VR headsets lying around, you know? Like, that I feel like might be the moment when we see some adoption, when it's like, okay, instead of buying, like, you know, a 1,000-inch TV or whatever the fuck we get up to at a certain point, you know, it's just like, have 3 or 4 VR headsets lying around, and when people want to watch TV, they put them on, you know, wireless headsets, light headsets, and it's like, and then you just, those are your televisions, you know? Like, that I feel like is a realistic future for, we don't have monitors, we don't have TVs anymore, we just have VR headsets. Do you think that's nuts?
I feel like, again, we just have computer chips in our brains at that point.
Yeah, okay, you think we're just going to skip right to computer chips in the brain?
Like, I don't see, like, we are at headset stage right now.
Yeah.
And, like, the next step from that is brain-computer interfaces. And, like, we're like, we're actively working on those things, right? Maybe not like the best people are working on them right now, right? Like, I don't, you know, Elon Musk isn't my like top choice. I would rather probably like
anyone else.
IBM maybe would be a good one. You know,
I guess let me ask them. This. Have you seen the big screen beyond?
Oh my God, I can't believe we live in a world where that's a thing you can say.
I sent you a link. I just, here's the thing, right? I feel like something in this form factor, but wireless, is not unreasonable for people.
Yeah, but that's not the problem. It's that like you've transformed the living room into needing like a coat rack.
But it's like, you know.
No, but like, no, seriously, like that's too much. Yeah. Like you've messed with like the way people live in like a way that like we like that's a big cultural shift to go from like a couch and like a TV to like, because before that it was radio, right? And before that it was like the fireplace, and like you're essentially suggesting like replace that with like four headsets that you wear, and I feel like we would just skip that to like just go to a central device still. You would plug in to like, you would plug your neck into like the VR monolith that's in the center of your living room, right? Like that makes more sense to me than it being four separate devices. Like that's the like it's just the fact that it's like four things instead of one thing, literally.
Yeah, okay, I could see that, you know, because I mean, I was the world I was imagining, I can see where you're coming from on that, because it's like I'm imagining a world where it's like all of these devices are just on like a compatible network where like, you know, you have people coming over, they bring their headsets over, you all sit down on a couch and you watch something, you know, and it's like a shared VR space.
Yeah,
you know,
I guess. I mean, those are kind of phones then. And again, it's like, wouldn't we have just moved to like having the phone in our eye at the point where everyone needs to have like a new piece of clothing for it?
Yeah. No,
like that's the part that I find hard to believe.
I can see that. I don't know. I wonder if we'll ever get to that point. I guess it would have
to. I mean, we're there with phones. We got there with phones, so it's like not unbelievable.
Well, it's interesting you say phones, because like I wonder if we will get to the point where it's small enough that it'll be something like Google Glass, like that Google Glass idea that never really panned out, where it's like, yeah, it's an AR space where it's like you're wearing your headset all the time.
Yeah, maybe you're like, you put your phone down on a table and it just fills the room with like Star Wars style.
Yeah,
right.
Or the headset is your phone, where it's basically like all.
Well, that's
of
what
your
I was thinking. Yeah,
all your shit's a heads up display.
Yeah, but at that point, like it's in your face.
Yeah,
right. Like I just can't imagine people accepting. Like if we did accept goggles as the new phone, it would be for like a decade, and we would never talk about that decade again. Right, like bell bottom jeans. Right, we would just all agree that like there was a mass psychosis happening, and we just move on with our lives.
That's right? Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. No, fair. I will be interested to see, because it's like, I don't know. Like it's just this is what is crazy to me is like a decade ago, if you'd told me like, okay, you're gonna have actual virtual reality, like the thing that you were imagining where you go inside of a video game, it's just going to exist and no one's going to give a shit about it except for like a small amount of tech early adopters, I would be like, are you,
that's bullshit though. You, that's what our VR is can't be what child you imagined VR as.
It's not, it isn't, you're right,
it isn't, it's
it
not.
Isn't I okay, but it is so like the first time I tried VR, I mean, and you know, I mean, I'm a VR evangelist. I know this, right?
Sure, yes, I can tell.
But like the first time I tried it, I was like, oh shit, what the fuck? This is so good. This is incredible. Like this is so much better than I could have possibly imagined. It's like I'm inside of a video game. Like it was bananas to me, you know, and it was just like stupid shit. Like it was like a literally like the one of the first VR things that I tried was literally you just like sit in a bubble and it like. It like it's like a little underwater submarine thing, but like I was in a video game. I'm like, ah, what the fuck, you know? And it's just like, I don't know. I feel like if everyone had the chance to try it once, that like most people would be like, oh wait, shit, I need this. But maybe I'm also just an insane person.
Well, I think the nausea issue.
Yeah, the nausea
right,
issue
right away kind of robs that. But people do get that aha. I got that moment. But, like, eventually it, like, isn't as that. Because, like, you start, like, your brain figures out that it's not reality pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, when I went to lean on that, like, wall, like, I can't do that, right? Like, I can't lean on the wall. And, like, when I, like, tried to smash this person's face into the dirt, like, the psychopath I am, like, it kind of clipped a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, it didn't really feel the same way. And so, like, your brain eventually is like, oh, this isn't reality. Like, I'm not in a video game.
Yeah.
And you kind of lose the, like, aha moment. And the technology needed to, like, keep up doing that until we were, like, you know, in virtual comas .hack style. And, like, we're not there yet.
Yeah. And maybe that is part of the problem is, like, I mean, you know, there is a limitation to what you can do because it has to be, you know, you have to have, like, tracked space and all that stuff. Whereas, like, mm-hmm. I can literally just plug in and turn my brain into a computer.
Yeah. I mean, like, our bodies have a built-in, like, disconnect your brain from the, like, making your muscles move thing. Like, we have that. Like, you do it every night. So, like, it can't be that hard to trigger your body into doing it for you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, someone will figure it out, and, like, 10 years from then, someone will figure out how to put it into a headset, and then 10 years from then, someone will figure out how to make it cheap.
And then, by that point, Gabe Newell will be like, okay, yeah, okay, so we have brain-computer interfaces now, but I still won't make Half-Life 3 because you can't literally die in the video game yet.
Yeah. But it's okay, because we'll all be so old that our chances of dying in the video game will be high anyway. Just not from the video game.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But we'll need it. And when we're 60, we'll need the ability to disconnect our bodies when playing video games, because our bodies will be destroyed from all the video games.
No, it'll be fine, though, because we'll have exoskeletons by then. So yeah, we won't even be moving our own limbs anyway. Oh, man. Hey, speaking of the far-flung future, you read Dune.
That's right. Yes, I did read Dune. Yes, everything is Dune.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, yes. Yeah,
you would love The Wheel of Time.
Yeah, I know, because it's Dune.
Dune, yeah. But, like, explicitly Dune.
Oh, it's... Okay. I'm glad you made that connection so I didn't have to make it already.
Yeah, so quickly.
Yeah, I mean,
it was like, oh, okay, the Bene Gesserit are just the Aes Sedai, and Paul is just Rand, and Matt, and Paul, or whatever.
Yeah.
Perrin.
Other way around, but yes.
Sure, yes. Yeah, sure. That's what I meant.
Yes.
And, you know, his mom is also... Moraine, and his dad is Lan, and also whatever Duncan Idaho is Lan. It's just, you know, yeah, it's obviously that
it is,
and the Ael are the Freemen, and etc. etc.
Yeah, it was hilarious how I was just like, oh, okay, this guy really liked Dune and wanted to write fantasy Dune, and he wrote fantasy Dune.
He wrote fantasy Dune.
So yeah, what did
explosions.
You? What did you think? What did you think of the book? Because you've only read the first one now, right?
I've only read the first one. I was gonna dive right into the second one until I got to the first page, and what I was about to do kind of dawned on me, and I was like, I need to take a break before I begin diving down into the other 12 books or whatever.
Not quite,
but
that
I got
bad.
Them all. I have the whole omnibus edition now. So
okay, you only need to read the actual Frank Herbert novels. I've heard that it's not necessary, and in fact, very not good to read the ones after he passed away.
The biggest takeaway. This is kind of weird, but my biggest takeaway was I am now actually way more appreciative of David Lynch's Dune.
Really.
That would be my biggest takeaway. I was surprised at, like, I was expecting there to be a lot more book.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I'm going to read Dune, and there's going to be all of this, like, additional, like, stuff, like, surrounding the, like, core scenes that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
And it turns out that, like, what I'm aware of is the book.
Yeah.
There is actually almost no additional content. And that was, like... Like, there is, obviously, but there's not anything that's really important that's, like, skipped over from the movie. And I was very surprised by that. Like, especially some scenes where I was like, okay, surely there's a transition scene they cut out here. Right? It's like, oh, no, there's not. Like, that's actually how it is in the book, too, where it's just like, yes, we're going to do this thing, and then cut to that thing happening. It's like, oh, okay, they're just in the throne room now. That was it. That's the battle. Was them talking about the battle before the battle happened, and then now they're in the throne room. That was probably the most shocking moment, was that there was the ending where it was like, oh, that is what the ending is. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very abrupt book.
Yeah, there's not, he does not do any like traveling scenes or like additional like secondary character stuff, really. It's very focused.
Yes. And a lot of just internal monologue.
Yes.
Constant. Which is why I was like, you know, when the Denis Villeneuve movie, like the first one came out.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, man, like, cause like I had never watched the David Lynch one. I hadn't watched like the miniseries. So I hadn't like actually seen anybody else's like adaptation of Dune. But yeah. I was like, how is he going to handle the fact that basically this entire thing is just internal monologue? And not only did he like make that movie, and I think did the movie effectively, like, cause I mean, we've both watched it. Like, I know we talked about it kind of like a little while ago, but now you've had some time to actually like, you know, read the book and understand it. And like, I was very surprised that like, not only did he pull it off, but he actually like, he only did half the book. I was like, there's not that much that happens in Dune. How did you only do half the book and make it interesting and also make it work and not do any of the internal monologue? But it's like, actually a fair amount of stuff does happen in Dune. It's just that like, it doesn't feel that way because most of the time you're just sitting there like, okay, this character is going to tell you all the things they're thinking. And then this character is going to tell you all the things that they're thinking. And then, oh, we're in a different place now. And they're going to tell you all the things they're thinking. And it's just like, holy shit.
Yes. And all the characters are hyper competent.
Oh God. Yes.
So they're always making the like correct decision, but their enemies are also making those correct decisions. So it's very interesting that way.
Yeah. Okay. So that actually gets me into something that like, this is what struck me the most about Dune as a book is two things. First of all, Paul is like the most Mary Sue of Mary Sues that has ever Mary Sued. Like,
I mean, I would disagree with that, but I get what you're saying.
Really? Okay. Well, hold that thought then. I want to hear your disagreement in a second. But the second point is Frank Herbert tells you exactly what's going to happen in the book pretty much from the very beginning and then just does it. And those two things like should make the book supremely uninteresting, like a perfectly competent, like main character that has every superpower. And then like all of the entire book spoiled from the beginning. And you're like, it's like, how is that going to be a good book? And yet it works because this is the reason why I think it works. Paul is an unwilling Mary Sue. He's like, okay, yes, I have all of these superpowers and whatever, but I fucking don't want to. And like, I hate this and this sucks. And also I think equally as much, he also, you know, by being like, you know, like prescient and whatever, like being able to see the future, he sees the future and also doesn't want that to happen. And so he's basically like, the entire book is like him being like, no, I want to avoid this entire thing happening. And it just basically unfolds exactly the way it was described.
Yes.
And it's like just like an exercise in frustration of just like, fuck, all right, all this shit that I wanted to prevent happening just happens anyway.
Yeah. So I mean, you kind of said it there, but like, obviously a Mary Sue has to like also not have like a narrative reason for being a Mary Sue. Right? That's very important. Is like, if there's a reason, if there's a good story reason why a character is a Mary Sue, then like they are by definition not that.
Okay.
So like you said it yourself, like because he's an unwilling Mary Sue and because like he's a Mary Sue because of like a contrived like genetics plot essentially, right? Like he is thus not a Mary Sue.
Okay.
Specifically because of that. That's just technicality, you know. Just, you know, no, I read a lot of TV tropes.
No, it's fair. It's fair enough. We got to make sure we're accurate. I mean, you know, we just talked about the subversion of the trope is in itself the thing that usually makes a work good. And it's like, Dune is nothing if not a subversion of it. Like, Paul could be such an obnoxious character if it wasn't for the fact that, like, he is so, like, bummed out about the fact that he is, like, the literal perfect
puppet
being.
Boy.
Yeah.
He's a little puppet boy. He has no agency.
Yes. No agency. That is the thing about Dune that is so like interesting is like, it does really feel like there are prophecies and they're real and they're going to happen.
Yeah. But they're only real. They're only real because of the Bene Gesserit.
Yes.
Because they put a lot of work into making them real.
Yes.
It's like some lady had to come here and live her entire life just so like the right words are said at the right time.
Yes.
Yeah, which is crazy. And that's another cool aspect of the book. The Bene Gesserit are amazing. And definitely a better Aes Sedai than the Aes Sedai.
Oh, yes.
Robert Jordan does that on purpose. I mean, Robert Jordan is not a, to not say Robert Jordan is not a good writer still, but he definitely just did write Dune.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he was, but I mean, I'm sure he had different goals for the Aes Sedai versus like Frank Herbert clearly is like the Bene Gesserit are, you know, other than the fact that Paul exists, are extremely fucking competent.
Now, I do think to a certain degree, like, the way Dune is written, I don't know, this is probably going to get me in trouble, but, like, there's a lot of momentum to the narrative and to, like, your suspension of disbelief of this world, but, like, the way Dune works is fucking, like, hilariously stupid. Like, the way they've structured their society, like, makes no sense whatsoever. Like, there seems to be so many gaps for advantage that could be taken that are not taken, and it's like, okay, sure, whatever.
Go for it. Well, such as?
The Bene Gesserit in general, just like, yes. We have trained a perfect society of, like, prescient, like, murder monk ladies who perfectly, like, manipulate all galactic politics to this, like, long-winded plan. And it's like, no one has ever revealed the secret of the Bene Gesserit. And it's like, really? Like, no one? Like, in thousands of years and, like, presumably, like, tens of thousands of, like, monk, of, like, you know, like, nuns who, like, clearly not all of them make it because we see failed ones in the book.
Yeah.
So like, are you sure it's a secret? Like, are you sure? And then like the fact that like later there's going to be like techno people in this world apparently in like the later books that just like they aren't really mentioned at all, the Talaxlu or whatever.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's like they definitely would have won by now because they have robots and stuff, I presume. So like that's. Computers are better than humans, ultimately. Like, I don't care what kind of drugs you do. Like, I don't care how much brain training has happened in the last 10,000 years. Like,
yeah.
You know, stuff like that is, like, it's fine, and it all makes logical sense in the narrative of the book and everything, but, like, some of the things I did raise an eyebrow at.
Yeah,
especially the Bene Gesserit thing.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Like, what is Imperial conditioning if it's so easily broken? Like, he seems like he broke it. Like, really, there's never been another Imperial conditioner that's, like had, like, a loved one die. Like, that's a pretty common thing that happens to people. Like, it's got to be better than that.
Yeah. No, I think that one of the things with Dune is that, like, Dune is a little bit hand-wavy, I would say.
Yes, exactly. It's hand-wavy, and that's fine when you're reading it, and, like, again, there's a great momentum to the narrative where the hand-waving is fine.
Yeah.
But afterwards, you're like, wow, they really stick to some of these rules for no reason whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say that, like, Dune is, like, the pinnacle of soft sci-fi to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That it's just, like, it's not important, right? It's just, like, how do they do these things? Doesn't matter, right? Yes. Like, don't think too hard about it. Don't think too hard about the fact that their entire, like, life is like just based entirely around the resources of a single planet.
Yeah.
You know, like just forget about it. It's not important. It doesn't matter. Like what matters is all of the like ridiculous like character interactions and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what this book is about. You know, it's not about like how things work. It's just like why do they work? Because Frank Herbert said they worked. That's it. The end.
Yes. How can worms eat people if water?
Oh, God, I didn't even think about that, but shit, yeah.
Yeah, just another one, just throw that one out there. But again, I didn't think of any of these things while reading the book itself, so none of them affected my enjoyment of the reading. It was only afterward that I was like, wait a second, that makes absolutely zero fucking sense. Hey, Frank Herbert, wait a second. So, yeah, but I'm still looking forward to reading the rest of the books, though.
I will say.
Because I want to see Worm God Man.
Yes, yes.
So badly.
Book two, I will say, though, is my favorite.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, because book two, maybe in some small part because it is the shortest, but it's just like the way that it's laid out, and you'll see when you start reading it, it's like it's just a really tight narrative in the way that like the rest of them are like very like wordy and philosophical, whereas like two is a little bit like a mystery almost, like in a way. It's you'll see when you read it, but like it's
who killed Paul Atreides.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of like a whodunit kind of thing.
Interesting.
It's fucking great. Like, and like the whole thing is just like I won't say anything. It's just great. But that being said, how did you find his writing? Because I will say I find I mean, I read all the Dune books, right? But I do find them to be a tough read.
I don't know. I felt like sometimes he got lost in tangents. I felt like his descriptions of things were evocative, but also very dreamy, in that I like never got specific details on like almost any like object.
Uh-huh.
Which, as a big fantasy reader, is weird to me, I guess. I'm used to getting long, long descriptions of things.
Yeah.
And he kind of just is like, there was a courtyard with some trees. And it's like, what kind of courtyard, Frank Herbert? Was there sand, potentially? No. Well, you're on Dune, so you should assume that. Okay, I do, but no more detail? Okay, that's fine. No, let's keep going. Yep, launch into an explanation of why the trees are there.
You did read the glossary, though, right?
Not all of it.
Oh, I gotta read the glossary.
Oh, God. No.
The glossary is, I mean, honestly, like, the glossary is mint. Like, you gotta read that whole thing. Like, there's a lot of stuff in there that's like, I was like, why is this in a glossary? But, like, you gotta read the glossary. It's, like, almost like the last chapter of the book is the glossary.
Yeah, I did see after I'd finished reading how long the glossary was, but
yeah,
I didn't go into there.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, I loved the, like, his dialogue.
Oh, dialogue is very good. The thing I think that I found is what you said about like the tangents. Like I would be reading and I'd be like, wait, what the fuck are we talking about again? I don't remember. Like, I feel like I'm so lost. And then I'd like go back and reread. I'd be like, okay, wait, focus. What is happening in this paragraph? It's like, okay, this is what he's talking about. Yeah.
I think my favorite scene in the novel is probably the party that Paul and his mom go to, like, early on.
Okay.
Before shit pops off, when they're still in control of Dune.
Yes, 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 yes.
That, with, like, the merchant, and that's where the first time they meet the Fremen guy, whatever his fucking name is.
Yeah.
Dude man. Yes. The person.
God.
And, like, that's also where they meet the Imperial Surveyor guy, mm-hmm. right, and all that. I like that. That felt, like, really, you know, it was a lot of back and forth, a lot of, like, the chess move is getting countered by this chess move, but really it's a 3D switcheroo move.
Yes.
Right? I felt that was good. Because later in the novel, it gets more like superpowery, where it's just like, and then I will say this, and they will worship me, which I love as well, but it's, you know.
It's basically, yeah, I mean, like, that entire scene is basically just like, it's just tension, because it's just a bunch yes. of people that fucking hate each other sitting politely in a room, like, yeah. trying to politically backstab the others.
Yeah, and it had a lot of the, like, the kind of writing he likes to do where he doesn't say exactly what's happening, but he, like, hints through, like, you know, other things what's happening.
Mm.
I like that.
In the movie, did that scene happen?
I don't feel like it did. There's not a lot of the, like, yeah, there's not a lot of that in the first Dune movie.
Which is crazy. Like, that scene in particular, I was very surprised when it's like we just kind of went right past it almost.
Yeah. I feel like they did the old lady a little bit, right?
They did the old lady.
Old lady servant, but they didn't do the party, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'm misremembering that, and if I am, people, you know, roast me or whatever. You know, it boosts the engagement, so please roast me. But I feel like I remember when I watched the movie, I was like, wait a second, they didn't do the party? Like, that's... I do wonder if they're going to flashback to it in the second movie. That would be great, because I feel like that's a weird thing to have missed out on. The other thing that was weird in the movie, and I don't know how they're going to... And I can't remember how much they even get into this in the first book, but, like, the way that he's done... like the ships in the movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that's going to track with the way that, like, they work in the book. Cause in the book, I mean, they are very much navigating through space. Whereas in the movie, it seems like they're almost like creating a wormhole from one place to another, but it's like, well, then what are the guild navigators doing in the movie? And that's what I'm assuming, I mean, he's done such a good job of it that I'm assuming that he has, like, a good explanation and plan for how that's going to work. I just don't... I'm
confused how that presents a problem at all.
Well, because, I mean, the whole thing with the Guild Navigators is that, like, basically they're looking into the future to try to see a path between where they are currently and where they need to go so that they don't crash their spaceship, basically. Yeah. And... so they're navigating through space, whereas it, like, it feels like in the movie, it's like there's, like, a ship at either side of a place, and you literally just travel from place to place instantly through a wormhole. And it's like, well, then what are the guild navigators like?
They're
what
forming
are they?
The wormhole.
I guess that I guess they're forming the wormhole.
Yeah, they're forming the wormhole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the calculation they're doing instead. Okay. I mean, it made sense to me. Yeah, that's all I saw it as.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Maybe that is actually what or maybe he just won't explain it. Which okay, lots of things that go unexplained in Dune, so it's okay to not explain things.
I liked the Baron Harkonnen. I will say Baron Harkonnen comes off very differently in the books. That is another big element that was different.
How so?
He comes off as way less like maliciously cruel in the books. Like way more like fat baby man throwing tantrum than like sadist saw torturer.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. Less threatening. Way less threatening in the books. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think I can see that because it's like, I mean, he's...
He seems like more like a nobleman.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, that's like, yeah, he just seems like somebody whose toy has been taken away from him.
Yes, exactly. Like he doesn't seem that threatening. Whereas in both movies, he is very threatening.
Oh, yeah.
Very threatening. So it's weird seeing him that way. And also, I mean, I guess really all the Harkonnen characters came off very differently. The Atreides characters to me were like you could have I imagined, you know, sweet, sweet David Lynch boy's face, you know, Cooper.
Yes, Cooper.
Fuck. What's his name?
I know, right? I literally can only think Cooper. It's terrible. Kyle MacLachlan.
Kyle MacLachlan. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I did it without looking it up. I feel amazing.
Beautiful Kyle MacLachlan. That's who I imagined every time I read any line in Dune. For all of the... I couldn't tell who was supposed to be Sting, if I'm honest, in the book. I don't remember what Sting's character's name was, but there's two people that the Harkonnen guy, that Lord Harkonnen uses.
Oh, isn't Sting supposed to be...
the nephew or whatever.
Was he? Oh, maybe that's right.
Right? And, like, neither character seemed like Sting. They both seemed very, very different from their characterizations in the movie, to me.
Yeah, Fade Ruth. Oh, wow. Okay, he was him. Yeah, because in...
Yeah, because Fade is played like a brute, almost. And obviously, Sting doesn't really play him like that.
No. He's supposed to be like the one he fights at the end.
Yeah.
Not the other one. Not Beast Raban.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's supposed to be. Fade Rutha is like the. It's
the guy
he
fights
like,
at the end.
Yeah, he's supposed to be like the Paul Atreides of the Harkonnens.
Yes. Okay.
And he's supposed to be like a pretty boy kind of like.
Yeah, I never, like, in the movie he seemed threatening, whereas in the book, again, none of the Harkonnens really gave me that same sense of, like, dread, except for the first one, the really stupid one, who was just a hammer man.
But, yeah, Beast Raban, right?
Yeah, Beast Raban.
Yeah, who is, I think, perfect in the movie, like, he's just, because it's, whatever, the wrestling
Dave
guy.
Batista, yeah.
Dave Batista, he's like, he's perfect. It's just like, yes. just Hulk smash, basically.
Yes, that's the one that makes sense to me. The other ones, I couldn't picture their movie counterparts as them.
Well, have you seen who they've cast for it in Dune 2?
What?
For Fade Rutha. It's
no,
Austin Butler.
Austin.
He looks perfect for it. He just looks like a fucking frat boy, basically.
Oh, God. Wow, that's going to be crazy. Okay, cool.
That's exactly what I always imagined. He's just like the bad guy in like 80s ski movies.
Yeah, that. Yeah,
that's,
I see that.
That's what I always imagined Fade Rutha as being. It's just like, I'm here to fucking win. You suck. And then like, I also love how unceremoniously he gets his ass kicked by Paul at the end.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That to me is one of the most perfect parts of the book, is just like, they don't fuck around. It's like, no. It's like, this is your best boy, but like you're fighting against like literally like the fucking,
yeah,
like the perfect being of this world, you know, like it's not going to be a chance. Like he's going to fucking tear you to shreds. Yeah,
he still fights like he has a shield.
Yes. Like, yeah. You know, Equilibrium, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that fight between, like the penultimate fight, the one between him and like his new partner, and his new partner's like, you know, don't get any blood on my you know uniform. I expect to be wearing it for a long time, and then he just fucking cuts him in two. Like, that's how I always imagined that fight. It's just like, this is not even a challenge.
Yeah, although it does remind me of that first fight Paul has with the Fremen over like water rights or whatever.
Yes,
where he's like, they think he's fooling with him.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yes.
That's a good one. It's another good. I love those. Frank Herbert's good at writing those monologues, those internal monologues.
I mean, he better be, because the entire fucking book is internal. The whole fucking book,
yeah. He did it.
But no, I mean, so I am glad, though, that you pointed out, because it's like everything is Dune, right? Like, once I read Dune, I was just like, oh, okay. Everything is, I mean, Morrowind is Dune. Wheel of Time is Dune. Everything is Dune.
I don't know. Do you think Morrowind is Dune? I don't know about the, really?
The whole fucking, like the... the Ashlanders and like their whole society being like separate from like the main society that's like, and like they live in some kind of like cool fucking, you know, weird area. I mean, it's like, it's, you know,
sure.
Like,
okay. Yeah. 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 I see that.
Yeah. They're the Fremen, you know, that's what they are. They're just the Fremen. They're fantasy dark elf Fremen.
Yeah. But they don't live in okay. I guess the Ashlands are kind of Wheel of Time is like really explicitly.
No, Dune. Yes, okay, yes. Wheel of Time Morrowind is a beat for beat like, remake of Dune.
Morrowind is in one of it's like Dune is definitely a like inspiration for the people who wrote Morrowind. Without
yes,
a doubt.
Yes, 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 yes.
But like Robert Jordan read Dune and was like, I'm gonna write that book, but like with swords instead of guns and no shields.
Yeah, I mean it was so like, funny when I first watched.
Yeah, it's really like explicitly Dune. It's like hilarious.
I know. I was like, oh my god. I was like the Aes Sedai are the Bene Gesserit.
It's you can't like, even pretend. It's like, wow. Yeah. So obvious.
Yeah, I mean, that is the funniest thing about watching Wheel of Time. I'm just like, oh, okay. This is a Dune remake. I get it.
Just longer Dune.
It's why I guess I get it so easily, because I'm like, it's just Dune. It's Dune.
Just Dune.
It's just Dune. We're just doing Dune things. Oh, shit, man. I am so excited for you to read the rest. I'm really excited to hear what you say about the second book. And I'm very excited about the new fucking movie that's coming out. We'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, I'm more excited now than I was, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's some, like, really
there's some great stuff.
Yeah, there's some really good scenes that are coming up that I'm like, oh, like, when it finished, I was like, wait, there's so much more book. Yeah. What is happening?
Definitely. I know. I'm excited. Yeah, it's going to be good.
Hell yeah, man. Well, shit. We'll figure something out for next time.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
We got so many options.
We have lots of options with the fucking just a smorgasbord of topics, but we will pick one of them and we will do it. All right.
Yes. Peace.
See ya.